Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013 U.S.
Zach Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
All right, welcome to Greenside, the IGA podcast. Clint Brown here with you. Got Zach Nicolaudis, agronomist Central Region with the Green Section of the USGA. Zach, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Clint?
I'm good, thanks. Hope we had a good Thanksgiving. Before we kind of dive into your stuff with the USGA, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of how you got into the turf business and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I got into the working on golf courses when I was in high school. I needed a job or a summer job that would allow me to get to soccer practice in the late afternoons. And a family friend was an assistant superintendent at St. Clair Country Club in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he basically said, yeah, if you can get here about 5, 6 a.m. in the morning, you'll be out early afternoon. And really fell in love with the job there. I've always been someone who's enjoyed, being outside, and obviously working on a golf course allows you to spend most of your time outside. And after working there, decided to pursue a turf grass science degree at Penn State University. So I spent 4 years there getting my degree. And then after that, went back to St. Clair Country Club as an irrigation technician, and had an opportunity. They were doing a major renovation of the 18-hole golf course. So St. Clair is a 27-hole facility. So they were doing renovation of the 18-hole golf course. So I had the opportunity to take part in that. And then after 2 years there, full-time, moved out to the Philadelphia area and worked at a golf course called French Creek Golf Club, where I was a second assistant superintendent, kind of slash spray technician. So I spent a lot of time making plant protectant applications to all the playing surfaces on the golf course. And then from there, moved to a golf course called Bitterman Golf Course, which is in Wilmington, Delaware. And had initially intended to be there for 2 or 3 years, but a pretty amazing opportunity opened up about 9 months after being at Bitterman. And that position was the South Course Superintendent's position at Wilmington Country Club, which is right next door to Bitterman. So I had the opportunity to move just a few miles away to work at Wilmington and spend 5 years there as the South Course Superintendent. So golfer or anybody who watches golf is probably familiar with Wilmington Country Club because they hosted the BMW Championship in 2022.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool to watch watch the BMW played at a golf course that that I worked at, although the routing was changed. So it took me a little bit of time to get adjusted to that. When they were saying hole numbers, I was like, that's not how I know that particular hole. And then while I worked there, we had a really good relationship with the USGA Green Section. We worked with a longtime agronomist, Stanley Zontek, and who unfortunately passed away unexpectedly. And so we had a really good relationship with Stanley, and then with Darren Bavard, who's currently his role is the senior director of championship agronomy. So Darren works primarily with all the championship host sites. So got to know Darren really well and was really picking both his and Stanley's brain on what they did as USGA agronomists. And so ended up applying 3 times for agronomist position. So third time was the charm. And that's how I landed in Columbus, Ohio, and have wrapping up, I believe it's my 8th year, or no, I'll be starting my 8th year with the Green Section in March.
That time flies, doesn't it?
Thinking about it right now, it has gone by really quickly. I love this job. I, get to travel all over the country, all over the world to visit golf courses. And it's, every day is certainly different. Get to see a lot of great golf courses and work with a lot of great people.
Zach, kind of rewinding a little bit, give our listeners kind of an idea, maybe a shorter summary, what the Green Section is. Because I think there's a lot of people that have maybe heard that term, but maybe don't know exactly what that is.
Yeah, so the Green Section, it's a pretty unique team where we've got our consulting agronomists. So currently there's 8 agronomists who their time is primarily dedicated to consulting with golf courses, and we're located throughout the country. We work, we have essentially designated territories. So we, our primary responsibility is consulting with golf courses on, you know, turf health, playability, anything and everything can really be on the table. We customize those course consulting service visits to the needs of the facility. In addition to that, we, agronomists support all of the USGA championships. So we're on site for USGA championships, and we kind of work in between the golf course superintendent and their team and the championship director, collecting a lot of data, firmness data, speed data. And then kind of our third area of responsibility for the agronomist is we contribute to our Green Section Record, which is a free biweekly e-publication. And the articles are everything from technical geared towards more the superintendent to we have one article called For the Golfer, and those are more not quite as technical and just, you know, relevant topics that we're seeing in our travels. In addition to that, the agronomists also support the development of our tools, which are GS3, which is a smart golf ball that superintendents can use to measure putting green smoothness, trueness, speed, and firmness. So that's something we, with, you know, 2023 was more of a soft launch for that. We're looking to roll it out, no pun intended, to a much higher or a greater level in 2024. So we have our tools. So we have engineers, data scientists that work on in that capacity. And then we also have our research program, the Mike Davis program, where we invest in turfgrass research every year. And it's usually about $2 million-ish that are invested. You know, it's invested in university research. So, you know, Iowa State, obviously, big turfgrass program. So professors at these universities will essentially submit proposals for research. And then Cole Thompson and his team will basically, in the research committee, will select which projects get funded. And then, you know, kind of a research project within that is a water conservation project that Mateo Serena. So he's based in California. He's leading, it's essentially a 15-year project to on water conservation, without getting too much into the weeds on that. But yeah, we're a relatively small team, but we certainly got a lot on our plate.
Zach, kind of piggybacking off the research, I know more than I know about it. I feel like the turfgrass side is ever changing, not only with technology, but also just practices. So I'm just kind of curious, personally, you know, from your start in the turf grass till now, what are some of the biggest changes and or maybe different practices that you've seen, and maybe just kind of expand on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. When you get into that, I mean, when you get into the changes, so yeah, it's kind of crazy thinking. I started working on golf courses in the late 90s. So, you know, a lot with irrigation, more sophisticated technology, I would say, without a doubt, just technology as a whole, everything from, you know, portable moisture meters. I mean, I remember working at French Creek when we got our first portable moisture meter. I mean, you talk about a piece of equipment or a tool that really gave so much insight into, you know, just moisture levels, especially in putting greens and how you manage moisture. You know, plant breeding is another big one. You know, these improved varieties of turf grasses that come through research programs. A lot of that's a major area our research funds. You look at these more heat tolerant, disease resistant, drought tolerant grasses, and you know, obviously that helps on the resource consumption side of things, but that also has a major impact on the playability side of things. So that, you know, when you have a grass that's just essentially more durable, it can be pushed farther from a maintenance standpoint. So I would definitely say that, kind of going back to the technology, you look at like GPS sprayers, just the accuracy that, you know, plant protectants and fertilizers can be applied to golf courses. I mean, it's a lot different than the sprayers. I learned how to make applications on, I can say that's for sure. So definitely that. I would say another, you know, I would probably say, you know, an ongoing challenge and not really something too new, but, you know, just even The labor side of things has been an ongoing challenge in mm-hmm. the golf course industry as a whole. And it's just how superintendents are navigating that challenge and different different strategies, different, you know, practices that have to be put in place when you're working with, you know, a limited, when you're not at that ideal labor number every year. And then that kind of circles back into technology, which we're starting to see more, you know, on the autonomous or robotic type mowers. It's pretty interesting what we're seeing some golf courses do with experimenting with that and then expanding it to really be able to maintain, as you know, from a mowing standpoint, you know, larger acreage areas like the rough and the fairways.
Zach, you mentioned it. I know we could talk for hours about this, but as far as the water, you know, side of things, do you feel like there's just more awareness of how much water is being used, or what's kind of the big, and there's a lot of different things. I know you can, you know, water quality and different things, but what, I guess on that topic, what have you seen, as kind of the motivators of that, I guess I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, obviously depending on where you're at, I mean, in the, you know, for example, where I'm at in Ohio, we usually have, you know, adequate rainfall throughout the year that you don't get into these too prolonged dry stretches where quantity is an issue. But still, when it comes down to maintaining a golf course, especially when you're in control of the water, the goal is to obviously produce a playing surface. You're not maintaining a golf course for necessarily aesthetics or it's not like crop production where you're trying to grow more. You're actually trying to grow as little grass as possible because that produces the best playing conditions. So ultimately playability is the goal. But obviously when you get in areas of the country where, you know, water is limited, I think it's certainly the awareness and you know, superintendents just constantly becoming better environmental stewards to how they use water, when they water, better understanding of how much water is necessary to support plant health, but maybe not so concerned about that lush and green, but really producing the playing surface that meets golfer expectations, while at the same time making sure the water is conserved properly.
You mentioned about working with the staffs and golf course superintendents at all the championships of the USGA. Zach, just curious kind of what that timeline looks at. Are you working with them way in advance of a championship? Is it kind of championship to championship? What's that look like as far as kind of a timeline and kind of what you're looking for, I guess, maybe early on and then, you know, as you lead up to the championship?
Yeah, I mean, every championship's different. I have the opportunity that I work the Senior Open every year and then usually have one other championship that kind of depends on what else is going on. Okay. In the region I'm in. But I would say, yeah, depending on, I mean, obviously, if you look at how far out in advance a lot of championships are named or host sites are determined. We're working years ahead of a champion or working with the leadership at a facility years ahead of time. A lot of it is very much just relationship building, spending time with the superintendent, the golf professional, general manager, key stakeholders from that particular facility, this to start building that relationship, understand what they're working with. Is there any support they may need from us? Anything we can help with them to set them up for success once we get to the championship year. So, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of golf courses that, you know, are repeat host sites. So obviously we have a pretty good idea when we're going back, you know, like for a Pinehurst example, we have a pretty good idea what we're getting into when a US Open's hosted at Pinehurst number two. But it just, you know, that doesn't discredit the benefit of, you know, going or making visits with to the golf course years in advance to just, you know, continue to maintain that relationship. So a lot of it's that, get an understanding of how the golf course plays, what maintenance practices are in place or what the maintenance program will be in place to get to the, you know, the conditions we're hoping to deliver during the championship, provided Mother Nature cooperates. But just, yeah, it's definitely years in advance, you know, whether it's a, you know, one of our amateur championships or one of our opens. It's as soon as we know that championship's being hosted there, we're getting that communication process started.
Zach, are you either personally or the green section in general, are you guys involved in like site selection where maybe you're going somewhere where you haven't had something or it's been a little while and do you get some input on that? Like, hey, I think, you know, this facility would work well for this or not so much on that early on?
Not so much on that, on that side of things. That's more our championship department. There's basically a whole team that makes those decisions. Sure. So yeah, not too much on our end with that.
Zach, you mentioned early on about the site visits you do to different, you know, clubs and facilities, you know, non-championship stuff just throughout the country. And I know your colleague, Paul Jacobs, has done visits here in Iowa. Can you kind of just talk about that process and what goes into that and, you know, kind of the information that the club or facility, you know, gets back from those visits?
Yep. So for the, if you would go to our website, you know, our green section website, you would see, you know, kind of our standard visit models. We are, for the longest time, it's either, you know, it's been a half day or a full day visit. So a half day being 4 hours, a full day being 8 hours. And just from, you know, in that typical four or half and full day model, I mean, it's really, you know, if a golf course requests a visit or signs up for a visit, there are a lot of courses we work with every year, and there are some courses that are new, some courses that are every couple of years. So depending on if it's a course we're visiting every year or a course we've never been to, you know, reach as soon as the visit's paid for, then we'll, you know, reach out, you know, kind of what are the goals of this visit? You know, obviously, when would you like to do the visit? And then we'll kind of start to set that framework for the visit because we want to make sure we cover all the topics that the, you know, superintendent or general manager, owner, golf professional, whoever it may be, that's going to be a part of the visit, make sure we cover those key discussion points in depth. And then usually, you know, we'll go through the golf course and maybe trees, maybe aeration practices, maybe bunkers are, you know, outside or beyond their expected life cycle, and kind of we can provide insight, you know, what we're seeing as far as anything and everything. We tailor it to the specific needs of the golf course. So there's no set agenda on our end. We really want to make sure we cover everything that that needs to be covered at that particular golf course. And then after the visit, you know, usually anywhere from a week to 2 weeks, we provide a detailed report that's pretty much structured as observations and recommendations for everything we discussed during the visit. Outside of that, we have the, you know, there are, you know, obviously, you know, between, you know, 4 and 8 hour visit, there may be a golf course that has needs beyond that. You know, for example, if a golf course is doing a major renovation, so we have the ability to be flexible with, like construction based support or anything, you know, anything more in depth. You know, for example, there's one golf course that I work with in Ohio that they, rather than, you know, do one visit a year, they'd rather have shorter visits every 6 weeks throughout the year. So we just kind of put together a more customized proposal for that particular structure of those visits. And then we get to that golf course, you know, it's usually May, June, July, August, just for a couple hours to kind of more 2 hours, something shorter, more compact visit, but, you know, talking about, okay, what's been done so far this year, what's planned between this visit and the next visit. And then, you know, same report format is provided after that, just a little bit shorter because obviously we aren't on the golf course quite as long, but we're more of like kind of on retainers in that sense for the entire year. And the one thing I like to emphasize with any of our visits is while we may be there for 4 or 8 hours, I mean, we're a resource for you moving forward. You know, once one of our agronomists is familiar with the golf course, I mean, you know, whether it's setting up a Zoom call or, you know, just text message like, hey, I'm seeing this, any thoughts? You know, there's a, you know, I would say on any given day throughout the golf season, you know, if I'm on a visit, you know, from 8 a.m. to noon, you know, first thing I do when I get back in my truck is check my missed calls, missed text messages. And there's, you know, anywhere from a few text messages to 10 or 20, just answering questions like, hey, yeah, we're seeing this, you know, you know, nothing to be alarmed about, you know, do XYZ to make this correction, something like that.
Zach, we have a couple interns that were with the Green Section, not our interns, your interns, that actually have some ties to Iowa and Iowa State. Can you just talk about maybe that internship program, kind of, you know, what they're doing and kind of getting them, you know, introduced to the turf world?
Yeah. So yeah, Tom Gould and Molly Biggs, they were two interns that kind of went through a new an additional or kind of an expansion to our internship program that we piloted this year with those two. And it was fantastic having Tom and Molly along. So they traveled with me for course consulting service visits for 2 weeks. So they got an idea of just how visits are conducted, how we kind of operate from a day-to-day standpoint and from a course consulting service role. And both Tom and Molly wrote a report. You know, part of the project was, or part of their internship was writing a report from one of the golf courses that we visited. And both did an exceptional job. I read through both reports. I was like, I don't think I want to go back and read the first report I ever wrote for golf courses, because both of these reports blow that one out of the water. But so that was one component of their internship. And then Molly worked the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach. So she went out there for 2 weeks. And then Tom joined myself and Jordan Booth, our director of course consulting services, to work the Senior Open at Century World. So that was a goal to give them, you know, the experience on the course consulting service side of things, as well as championships. We would have liked to have had the opportunity to get them down to Pinehurst to spend time with our education team and our research team, but given our education team was making most of those individuals were making the move from New Jersey to Pinehurst, the timing wasn't right for this year, so unfortunately we couldn't give them that experience. But so that was for a 4 week internship that we had talked about internally. And then when we met with both Tom and Molly, we're like, these are two individuals that would be perfect for that internship. We have our existing internship prior to 2023 was pretty much students enrolled in a turfgrass science program. They could, you know, basically spend a week traveling with an agronomist to just see, you know, spend 1 week and see how, you know, the course consulting services are conducted. So that 4 week internship was an expansion of that, and is something we're going to look to continue to do moving forward. And we've got some other ideas as far as how we can maybe offer different internships to really give people or students in the turfgrass industry an idea of how everything we do on this side of the business.
Zach, it's kind of a question I've asked other superintendents and others in the turf world, but what kind of advice would you give, you know, a younger student, maybe high school aged, that's maybe thinking about the turf industry and maybe wants to explore that a little bit?
I would say right now could not be a better time to go into the golf course, you know, the superintendent side of things, or assistant, or I guess more of a entry level would be assistant superintendent side of things. It's a great industry to be a part of. You know, I was fortunate to just luck into falling into this. I mean, I played golf as a kid. I wouldn't say I was an avid golfer as a kid, but play more golf now than I did. But I mean, if you enjoy being outside, it's a great profession. You can work anywhere. I mean, you could travel anywhere in the world and find a job. You know, as far as opportunities, there's more opportunities now, certainly, than when I entered the industry. I'd say, you know, entering the industry in the early 2000s, there was definitely, students in turfgrass programs. There were certainly an abundance, so much so that you had a lot of people leaving school, or when they left school or when they graduated, you know, there was a little bit more competition for assistant superintendent jobs and entry-level positions. I mean, now you could pretty much go anywhere in the country and find a job at a at a highly regarded golf course, or, you know, a golf course that fits the type of opportunity you're looking for. Obviously it can be long hours, you know, during the golf season, there's, you know, the expectation of working, you know, you're going to have to work some weekends, you're going to have to work some holidays, but at the end of the day, it can be a very rewarding job and, a lot of opportunity to advance once you get into the industry. So I think, you know, really the ceiling's wherever you want it to be, as far as, you know, continuing to move up and you're, you know, but I would say the one thing would be a willingness to move locations, because, a lot of times the opportunity may not necessarily be in the exact area where you want to be, but there's if you're willing to move, there's definitely a lot of opportunity, especially early on, to start building the skill set that will help you later in your career.
Zach, before we let you go, and not to put you on the spot, but just curious if you got a funny story from your journey through the turf business, maybe something that happened early on in your career and you think back on it, and it's like, geez, how'd that happen? Or you see it happen again. It's like, you know what? I've been there. Anything that comes to mind?
This isn't anything crazy that I wouldn't say necessarily a story that I lean on for like any, you know, experience, like, oh, I'd never do that again or something like that. But I've told this story a number of times. One of the full-time guys at the first, this was probably the first couple of weeks at the golf course where I started at. And one of the longtime members of the staff, Dave, he and I were going to have to do some landscaping work up by the pool. So if you walk down to the pool at this particular golf course, the one side was really well manicured, looked great, you know, mulch, all, you know, everything. And the other side just did not look great. So we go up there, the superintendent at the time is explaining, like, you see this side, it looks great. We need to make these sides look the same. And so Dave was hilarious. I mean, I could tell stories about working with Dave for probably an entire, you know, for several hours, but he just looks at me, he goes, all right, Zach, grab the shovel. We got to mess up that good side. I don't know why that story just always stuck with me. He probably used some words that I couldn't use while we're recording a podcast, but it was just pretty funny. And the look on the superintendent's face was, I just kind of said, I'm really going to enjoy working with this guy throughout the summer. And he and I ended up probably spending 7 years working together by the time I left, between interning for, you know, 2 years as a high school, or 2 summers as a high school kid, 4 years as an intern, and then 2 years full time. We spent quite a few hours working together, and that guy, I learned a lot from him. He was a wealth of knowledge, but he always had a sense of humor about anything we were doing, that's for sure.
Well, and I think the turf grass and superintendent world, it's so much problem solving, and maybe you come across something that maybe you didn't learn in the book, but you're learning kind of hands-on, and you just find a way sometimes, don't you?
Without a doubt. I mean, in the role I'm currently in, the amount of time I lean on what I saw as an assistant, you know, as an intern, an assistant superintendent, and then the South Course superintendent at Wilmington, the experience you get in the field, I mean, obviously going to school, getting a degree, you know, that there's a lot that you gain from that, but the experience you gain in the field and with the people you end up working for throughout your career, it's pretty amazing. Like some of the things that just pop up, like you're looking at something, it's like, I've come across something similar to this. It might've been 12, 13 years ago, but just some of the things that you learn. And I think that's another thing about the industry. I mean, how tight-knit it is and how you can call on, you know, superintendents are, you know, more or less an open book. So many of them are, you know, you call them with a question, you know, next thing you know, you're sitting there 45 minutes later, just still talking about something in depth. I mean, it's pretty unique industry in that everybody is always, you know, everybody I've come across is always willing to help. And I think, you know, I think that's going back to your question about the students, like, or someone going into this field. If you start making those connections and just asking people, and the more, you know, people are always willing to help someone that, you know, with a good work ethic and the right attitude. I think that's probably some of the most, I mean, that's probably just in general for any occupation, but it seems to be rewarded in this industry for sure.
I totally agree with that, Zach. I think maybe people from the outside looking in maybe think superintendents are kind of rivals, and it's the complete opposite. It's like, you know, I'm going to crawl across town because I can't figure out, you know, why this is happening. And he's going to, you know, yep, hey, I had the same thing, you know, last year, try this, you know, do this, and you're off and running, aren't you?
I mean, yeah, it's that. I mean, I know. I mean, there will be superintendents. You know, you call up a friend, like, "Hey, come over and take a look at this. Just need another set of eyes on it." Or, "Hey, this piece of equipment broke. Is there any way, you know, whether it's lending equipment, lending help, whether it's, you know, sending a few members of the staff over to help with something?" I mean, you know, if you go to a USGA championship, you go to a PGA Tour stop, LPGA Tour stop, any of these events, and you see how many superintendents or assistant superintendents or interns are there just in a volunteer capacity. I mean, it's impressive to see how people will just give up, you know, they could be taking that time as a vacation, or, you know, or, you know, they're taking time away from their golf course to go work a championship or a professional tour stop where they're, you know, showing up at 3:30 in the morning and they may not be done until 8 o'clock at night. I mean, that's a lot of dedication to help out, you know, other people in the industry. And I think it's pretty unique.
I would agree. Well, Zach, I appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming on the podcast. It was good meeting you down in Dallas. We'll look forward to catching up again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great meeting in Dallas. And thank you for having me as a guest today on the podcast.
All right. Take care.
Yep. You too.